All right, there we go. Okay, so we're gonna head back to our seats. Welcome back, those of you who are online. I'm gonna invite all the children and youth to come and sit more towards the front if you're comfortable with that. Everyone under 20. I saw you, Annika, sending all your siblings up. Sure. Yeah, front rows. That's great. Come on up, Maddie. This is perfect. All right. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. How do little children come to Jesus today? Oh, she's stepping. Technology. All right. Cool. How do little children come to Jesus today? Really, when they can't come to Jesus in the same way they can come to their parents, where they're physically present in front of them, how do little children come to Jesus today? He gives them a mechanism. It involves the heart, it involves seeing with faith. It involves entering the kingdom as little children, but remaining there as little children in a sense as well. Ephesians 1 will say, let the eyes of your heart be enlightened. There is a way of approaching Jesus through the heart, which is the way that children approach Jesus, that we as adults need to learn from. So I'm going to offer a very quick prayer. I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to call Marcus up. Lord, would you pull back the veils of our eyes and enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we meet Jesus the way children meet Jesus, so that we enter the kingdom the way children enter the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Marcus is going to hand out some sheets. Thanks, buddy. Brad Jerzak, in his book, Can You Hear Me? It's about listening for the voice of God. He's got a children's book as well that just says, Children, Can You Hear Me? He tells this story in both of those books. He had a friend who was walking past his son's bedroom. His son was about 5 years old. And the dad heard his son talking to an adult male in the room. And he burst into the room and looked around. He's like, Richard, who are you talking to? And his son looks up and goes, God, like it was perfectly normal. And Brad Jerzak tells that story and says, it is perfectly normal. It should be perfectly normal. That's the point. And we see this in scripture. So I'm going to read Samuel's experience to you. 1 Samuel 3, verses 4 to 15. The Lord called to young Samuel, who was just a boy. And Samuel answered and said, here I am. And he ran to Eli. And he said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay back down. And he went and laid back down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli. And he said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli, I did not call. Go back. Lie down. Now, here's a very interesting verse, especially for those of us who are adults. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That was not God's fault. Who was supposed to do that? Eli. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli finally realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, the Lord is going to give Samuel a whole set of instructions here. He's going to let him in on some secrets about Eli's life and what he's going to do with Eli down the road. And after he gives those instructions to Samuel, it says in verse 15, Samuel lay down until morning. Then the doors of the house of the Lord were opened, but he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Samuel didn't just hear a voice. He had a vision. I would like to suggest to you that, as Brad Jerzak suggests, this is more normal than maybe you think. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing with you some of the things that God's been doing in Marcus's life. We've been up here sharing those stories. So, Marcus, do you want to come up? I was sharing with our church council, following the story I'd shared about how God had used Marcus to heal my back. And the whole story that went into that. And I was sharing with our council, it cannot be a coincidence that during a series on listening to the voice of God, God does something like this, like Samuel in a young boy who starts hearing the voice of God very clearly. And so as I've been reflecting on how we need to be learning from the children, I also shared with our council, we need to be learning from the children, including this one, who's currently hearing things. And so what I thought we would do is we're going to talk more to the kids, but it is going to be, you would be wise to listen as well, because this doesn't just apply to the kids. So thanks for coming up, buddy. Can we hear you? Say hello, hello.
Hello,
hello. Hello, hello. All right, we can hear you. Thanks for being here again. Marcus, you had said that you found a story about Samuel helpful the first time that you really, really noticed you were hearing from the Lord. So can you say a little bit more about why you found that story helpful?
It helped me know what to say when you heard from him. And then it also showed me it was possible.
Okay.
And if he did speak.
Okay. So can you help those of us who are here? What are some tips or some things that you feel like it would be helpful for other kids to know if they want to hear the voice of God more?
Ask him questions. Ask him, do you have anything to tell me? Because if you just sit there in silence, it's easier to ask him a question.
So ask God questions. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes when we've been doing our listening prayer, we've been sitting and saying, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? But you're saying ask more specific questions?
No, you don't have to. You could just say, ask if there's anything he wants to tell you.
Okay. So it's both. Okay. And why do you think it's important to ask God questions?
Because if he doesn't have anything to tell you, he won't just ignore you. At least what he does for me, he just says, no, I don't have anything to tell you.
Okay. But when you ask questions, then you get a response?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Maybe we're not hearing what we want from God because we haven't asked the question. I find that helpful. Okay. So there have been times where you've seen things as well. So what's helped you to see?
When you see a picture, don't assume it will be clear. It looks more like a blurry FaceTime video.
Okay. So have you had this experience where FaceTime, you know, your internet connection isn't great. It goes all pixelated. Don't expect that when God speaks to you, it's going to be full HD. There are times where it starts out more like that blurry FaceTime video. But don't dismiss that couldn't be God because it's not HD. Right away. So does it always stay blurry?
Once in a while it does, but most of the time you'll at least get a little better.
Okay.
As you focus more.
And are you seeing this with your eyeballs or with the eyes of your heart?
Usually I can see kind of a silhouette of him, and then I just trace the outside of his body with my eyes and I can see a little better. And then the rest of the details I can see in my head.
Okay, so it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
That there isn't always maybe as clear a distinction that we have sometimes made between what we can see with our eyes and what we can see with the minds that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Marcus handed out some sheets and some little sticky notes as well. And so what we thought we would do is say, if, as you guys have questions, maybe you want some clarification or you have a question that's come to mind that we haven't thought of, write it down. And then what you can do is stick it in our little question box right up here. And that way you don't have to raise your hand and feel like you're the center of attention or something like that. And then we can take some questions and go from there. Okay. Sound good? Nods? Good. Cool. All right. You said something to me before about whether you see or hear something, you should start by assuming that it is him. Is that right?
Yeah. You kind of like, if you've tried Flutter right away or doubt, he's not going to keep, like, it's going to be harder for you to hear him.
Okay. So when we automatically question it right away, it doesn't really invite him to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that the way children approach relationships? Unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? We have to come with a measure of childlike faith to the conversations we have with God. But it doesn't mean we never filter. Right? Mm-hmm. When do we filter?
Filter after or filter once you've had a little more of a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And what do we mean by filter?
Talking about it, looking back at scripture.
Mm-hmm. So we say, is what we see or hear here something that's from God that we see in scripture? Does it line up with scripture? And then we talked about another one, and what was it? Sharing it with others.
Are you sharing it with others?
Okay. And what others would you want to share it with?
Your parents.
Okay. So we're talking to kids. You talk to your parents about what it is that you're seeing or hearing. Okay. They know the scriptures better and they can help us. So we're all part of this larger community, right? And none of us has full access to the scriptures on our own. I need your help. You need my help, and so on. That's the way that God made this. Now, you've said that words or pictures have at times been easier for you. Which one is it?
Pictures are usually easier at the start, but after a while, I heard more words and I saw pictures, and words were easier for me.
Mm-hmm. So there have been times where we've been praying and we sit quietly and we ask God the question, you know, what is it that you want to say to me? And sometimes a word is the response, but other times it's been a picture,
mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. All right. So what we're going to do, friends, is we're going to try this in a variety of formats. And what we're going to start with is actually the practice called Lectio Divina, which we have done here a number of times. So I'm going to start with a Bible story. And what I'm going to ask you to do is picture the Bible story in your heads. Okay? Just picture the story. And then you're going to want to find yourself, put yourself into this story. Does that make sense? So we're going to be on the boat with Jesus. And we're going to be on the boat and there's going to be a storm and we're going to see Jesus come in over the water. Okay, but put yourself in the story so that you experience it differently than just watching a movie, more like virtual reality. Make sense? You actually get to participate in it. Okay, so I'm going to read this story for you. It's from Matthew chapter 14. So starting at verse 22, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. So close your eyes and see yourself there. You're one of the disciples. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake, and he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and later that night, he was there alone. But the boat, where you are, was already a long distance from the land, and it was being rocked by waves because the wind was coming so strongly against it. Do you see yourself rocking on that boat? Do you see yourself getting wet? Do you see yourself being a little bit afraid of where this storm might be going? So that goes on for a long time, and we're all soaking wet. And before dawn, Jesus went out to them, and he was walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid, take courage, it's me." And Peter spoke up and he said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now you're in the boat. Are you going to go out with Peter on the water, or are you going to watch it? Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I'm going to read that story one more time. And I want you to once again picture yourself there, right? And pay attention to what is it that the Lord wants to bring out for you in that story. And when we're done, I'll ask if anyone has something that they want to share. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already quite a distance from the land, and it was being rocked by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them immediately, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. It's me." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," said Jesus. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So as you guys did that, where were some of you in that story? Did you stay in the boat? Did you get out with Peter? Were you walking with Jesus? Where did you find yourself in the story? You just watching? Okay. And as you were watching, what did you see? What was it that maybe the Holy Spirit pointed out to you that was going to be important for you? Is it a detail that you noticed? Was it a word that you heard? Was it when you saw the wind? Did you see the wind? What was it?
I thought Peter was going to drown.
You thought Peter was going to drown? So you were in the boat watching Peter get out going, "You're crazy, man." Yep. Cool. Thanks, Ben. So Ben's comment, for those of you who couldn't hear, is he's noticing, as he goes through that story, he's noticing the faith that Peter has that the rest of the disciples seem to lack. And why didn't the rest of the disciples maybe challenge Jesus and say, "I want that level of faith"? That's one of the prayers I've been asking recently. Lord, increase my faith. That's good. So for...
Yes. I was going to say, but that's also still the same Peter that denied Christ when pushed
into later, not too long after that. Yeah, and Sarah points out that that's the same Peter that's going to deny Jesus later. That even if his faith was a little higher than the other disciples, it wasn't enough to make him superstar, carry him all the way through, that he still missed it. Yep. It's the same Peter. When I was telling Marcus about this exercise, do you remember what it was that you said? You said, "How do people read a book?"
How do people read a book?
And what did you mean by that?
When you imagine what's going on in the book, that's how you... Wait, that was for the next thing that we're going
to do. It's going to be both. Yeah. Yep. It's for both.
Like when you're imagining it, like in the walking on water, the next thing that we're going to do. How you imagine a book when you're reading it is how you imagine.
Mm-hmm. It's no different than any other book that we read in the sense that it requires us to see it with our minds, right? I'm trying to stay away from the word imagination because that sounds like it isn't real. But this is the tool that God has given us to engage with these kinds of things. And so we're using our minds, right? So how do you read a book? Well, this is how you read the book. You see the story, you picture yourself there, you enter into the experience that those first disciples had. Now we're going to try a different exercise. It's a different listening prayer exercise. What I want you to do is close your eyes. Ask the Lord to bring to mind a memory that you have. Maybe it's a really happy memory, maybe it's a sad one. Ask him to point out a memory to you. As you see that memory, see the whole place, the event, the sounds, the feel of the room or the air. There was this particular smell. See the other people, if there were other people there. See yourself there. Now let me remind you that God was there too. Where can I go from your presence? The psalmist will say. So now, as you see that memory, and as you're looking around, ask the Lord, where were you? Ask him to show you. And then look around until you see him. And as you see him, ask him a question. What do you want to say? Listen for the response. Okay, let's open our eyes. Are there any kids that want to share what memory they went to? Any adults who want to share what memory they went to? Memories are personal. I get it. God was there. Right? Where can I go from your presence? You can do this for some of those hard memories, some of the difficult things that you have been through. I have done this and I have led people through it as well. You will be surprised at what God shows you, whether it's a good one or a hard one. So maybe it's the birth of your kids, or maybe it's when you hit a home run, or your dance class just went amazingly well, right? And you can see Jesus there just delighting, clapping his hands. You can go to the hard ones too. And you can ask him some of the hard questions about, where were you? Show me. What did you want to say? He was there. We're going to try a third exercise. And you're going to introduce this one. I'm just going to read a scripture verse, right? Okay. What we've been doing is using our minds to see what our eyes alone cannot see. There is a psalm that makes reference to this. Psalm 16, verse 7. In it, the psalmist says, I set the Lord always before me. It's not a vision that God initiates. That's a visualization that the psalmist initiated. In other words, any one of us can do this. I set the Lord always before me. Is he not everywhere? So we're not picturing something that isn't true, right? He is everywhere. But I set the Lord always before me as a way of using our minds to keep an image of the Lord in front of us. So do you want to share more about some tips of how you've gone through this? Yep.
So we can...
That's right. So how have you done this?
Speak up. See in your mind a place where you feel comfortable or safe.
Okay, so let's just pause there. Close your eyes and picture a place where you are safe and comfortable. Okay.
Look around at your surroundings. Where are you in it?
Get a feel for that room, that space.
Ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus there.
Ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus there. And we're going to do this twice. So the first time, we'll do this. Go ahead.
When you see him, ask him what he'd like to tell you.
So we're going to listen for some words. Okay, let's try it again. So go through your instructions again, but we'll do the second part this time.
Okay. See in your mind a place where you feel comfortable.
Okay, so close your eyes. Go back to that same place where you feel comfortable.
Look around at your surroundings. Where are you in it? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus there. When you see him, ask him if he'd like to show you anything.
Okay. Is there anyone who's brave and would like to share? I'm thinking of the kids. Are there any kids here, youth, who would like to share what you heard or what you saw? Where do you go, and what's your safe place? I found it interesting when you told me this.
I go to the church.
You come here. And where do you see Jesus?
On the stage, right there.
Okay. I was in my office. In the picture I saw of Jesus first, when he told us to look, listen for words, I heard, "I'm faithful. I am faithful." He's speaking of himself. And when he told us to look for a picture, he said, "I am faithful." But what he did was hold out his wrist, and there was the nail mark there. And he said, "I'm this faithful." I needed that. Is there anyone that wants to share? Oh, hi. Please go ahead. Mm-hmm. That's good. Thanks, Lydia. Lydia was sharing about how when she gets stressed, what she does is she focuses on God's presence within her heart, and almost like sharing some time at the beach and listening to the waves and just letting the waves roll in and the waves roll out while focusing on his presence within her, which is true, right? We are told explicitly that he takes up residence. He makes his home within us. Very good. Thank you. And he gives us his peace. Well done. Yeah.
When we were focusing on the picture of boat in the water, I wasn't really seeing the people. I think God was showing me the waves and showing me the waves in the field and just the churning water and just all chaos. And then when you asked us to see ourselves somewhere, I was in my living room. I was right by the French doors. I could just see the figure of Jesus. He wasn't speaking, but he was blowing, like blowing it. And it just reminded me that he's in charge of the wind. He has all the chaos. He's got control of it, and doesn't have to feel scary and turning. It doesn't have to feel that way, but he's got it. He's in control of it.
That's very good. Thanks, Megan. So let me just repeat that for those who are listening online. Megan was sharing about how two of the exercises that we did went together for her. And so she was focusing on the wind when there was wind and the waves hitting the boat as she was in the boat with the disciples. She was focusing on the wind and the waves and the chaos. And then the next visualization that we did, where we pictured Jesus in a safe place, she was picturing Jesus in her home. And what she saw as he was in her home specifically was that he was blowing, that it was his wind, that he was in control. Bringing those two images together. And interestingly, what comes to mind for me, and you'll just have to test this, is Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And there may be even more to your image, but you'll have to test that. But I love the way that you brought those two, or God brought those two things together for you. Very cool. Anyone else want to share? Want to share your story? You can go have a seat, buddy. Thanks, everyone, for letting us lead you through this. Joel Kaju is going to come and share a story that relates in a number of different ways to the things that we've been doing. You can take that mic down there. And if you sit in front here, and this mic will pick you up as well.
Yeah, Ben. Ben asked me to share a story about children hearing God that kind of relates to this, the things that we've been talking about this morning. And when Davis, my youngest, was about 7 years old, he had a kid across the street show him on his iPad some scenes from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All of us as parents know at that point in his life, Davis was still scared at some scenes from VeggieTales. He wasn't ready to see what this boy had shown him. And one night, as he was lying in bed, and I pray with Davis as I get into bed with him, and you know, he had brushed his teeth and he does all those stuff, and then I get in and snuggle with him in bed and we pray. And soon after this happened, I get into bed with him, and he tells me how scared he is. That when the lights go out, he can't stop seeing these images. And he's terrified. And so as a parent, you're going, man, you know, the anger that comes with it, can't go back, can't delete off the hard drive. You're desperate. And I didn't know what to do. And so I said to Davis, I said, when you get scared tonight, ask Jesus to come crawl into your bed with you. Ask him to come snuggle in here and be with you when you're scared. Because I was desperate, I didn't know what to do. But he looked at me at that age and he believes every word I say. So he believed it. He believed that he could ask Jesus to come and snuggle in his bed when he was scared. And the next morning, he got up for breakfast and he was beaming. He said, Dad, Jesus came into my room. He snuggled with me and I'm not scared anymore. And it was gone. Whatever Jesus did that night in his bed, it was gone. He deleted that hard drive, and Davis has never struggled with it since. Just as Ben is talking this morning, it's, do we believe in these times as adults? I know a lot of adults that aren't sleeping well these days. We see the storm, we see the wind, we see the waves. A lot of adults could use the faith of asking Jesus to come in at night and snuggle with them and take away fears. And so that's my prayer for us. I'm going to close in prayer.
Yep.
How are we going to face these winds? How are we going to face these storms? We need the faith of a child to say, Jesus, I need you to come in. I'm desperate. I need you to come in and take this fear out because I can't do it. Let's just pray together in faith, Lord. As a church, you at home, pray this prayer with me. Let's agree on it together. That God would do something in Unity Baptist, that he would do something powerful, that we would have a faith that expects Jesus to show up. Abba, Father, we thank you for your goodness. Your goodness to show up this morning. Your goodness to show up in our lives, that even when we miss you there, even in the moments where we didn't ask you to come snuggle with us and take away our pain, we can go back and say, Lord, where were you? And you will reveal it to us. And you can heal things that are wounds, open wounds that are affecting our lives today. We can go back and say, Lord, where were you? I needed you. Where were you? And we know your word says you were there. You can reveal that to us. You can turn festering wounds that are affecting our lives today into scars that glorify Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that for Unity Baptist. I pray that for each and every person who calls this place home, that you would come into our lives now, in the storms now, and that we would have the faith that you want to come now and give us peace. And the storms that we faced in our past, that you want to come back and give us peace about that. And that you would heal us as a church. That you would move powerfully and there would be testimonies. And then we would be like rivers of living water to flow out to a world that desperately needs Jesus to come snuggle with them in bed. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the ways that you're moving, to be obedient, and to put whatever it is that's blocking your spirit in our lives, to put it at your feet, Lord. We're desperate for you. We want to be desperate for you. Come, Holy Spirit, pour into this church. And reveal yourself to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, John. I'm going to say goodbye to those who are online. We've got one. Maybe we'll pass on that last song here. But anyway, we're going to say goodbye to those who are online and to those who are here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May you see that face. Go in peace. Blessings, everyone. Thanks for being here with us.